Welcome. Today is September 27th, 2021. And this is the Deeper Conversations coaching class. We're delighted to have you here listening. I'm Anne. We have with us Pam, Lalia, Anthea, Yayoi, Maureen, and Jenny just arriving. Excellent. Very good. Well, we'll welcome Jenny when she gets here. Before we do that, do we have a volunteer who would read our class agreements, please? We read these, Maureen, at the beginning of every class. Pam, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Seven class agreements. Confidentiality. We agree to keep all information we hear within the classes or from our classmates confidential. This includes our live classes and listening to audios of the classes. Positive focus. We agree to give positive feedback, to acknowledge versus criticize, to be accepting. Hold the space. We agree to listen without interruption. Presence. We agree to be fully present to the class without distraction or multitasking. Five, beginner's mind. We agree to be curious and open, letting it all unfold. Self-responsibility. We agree to practice excellent self-care. In coaching feedback, we agree only positive acknowledgments are offered by the class participants after the coaching, focusing on the competencies observed and the strengths of the coach. The class facilitators may offer some mentoring feedback designed to further the learning of the coach and the class participants. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, Pam. That's my intention. What do you say? Give me a sign. You'll think about it. Yes, you're on board. Love it. Can't imagine learning without it. Thank you. Thank you. And Jenny, do you want to do a mic check? Yay! Excellent. Okay. Great. We can hear you. Very good. All right. Well, let's do the funnest part next, and that is who.
And I think Lalia is trying to get your attention that she sent a message to say that her mic is not working.
Yeah.
Oh, I saw one from. Who else said that? Jenny sent one that said her mic didn't work. Lalia, your mic is not working? Okay. Do you want to telephone, Lalia? Pam did that. She's on the phone. I'm going to log off and,
okay.
iPad or phone. Thank you. See you soon. Because we want to hear from you. or did she know I was about to get volunteers for Wednesday? Very cunning. I don't know. You may know, on Mondays we discuss a competency and on Wednesdays we have live coaching. So we will have live coaching this Wednesday. The date is September 29th on Wednesday. So we're looking for a volunteer coach and a volunteer client. Pam and Yayoi! And who was the coach? And who was
I was the coach and Pam was the client.
And would you like to stick with that? Is that?
Yeah, let's stick with that.
Why not? All right.
That's fine.
So Yayoi will coach Pam. Very good. And I'm back with you on Wednesday. Then you get a break from me on Monday. and from ethics. You never get a break from ethics. Julie will be with you Monday. And I wrote this down. So let me tell you that Monday is a week from today is October 4th. I don't know how that's possible. But a week from today is October 4th. You'll be with Julie and she will be discussing embodies a coaching mindset. So what I know is that the great minds of the ICF and the coaches that had been around got together. Many of them were there for the original competencies. They revised the competencies and they only added one competency. So I would be very interested to think, okay, there was only one you figured you needed to add after 20 years of experience. And you added embodies a coaching mindset. So it's a new competency. It's really interesting. So Julie will be discussing that with you on Monday. And we have our volunteers. Wow. We are rocking and rolling. Okay. Who'd like to do a short clearing or connection and walk us through that? What's the process that you share with your, either you do for yourself or with a client, if they just need to center for 30 seconds, who'd like to share that with us?
I'll do one.
Thank you, Jenny. Thank you.
I will also be the client next week if you want to put me down for that.
I'm sorry, Jenny, say that again.
I'll also be the client next week if you want to put me down for that, as far as volunteering goes.
Oh, next, okay. All right. Are you going to be here Monday?
Yes, I will.
Okay, let them know, because I'm not sure who's doing that week. It may be Julie.
Okay.
But that's great. We love getting volunteers. You write that down. And Jenny, you said you'd be client or coach?
Client.
Client, okay. I'm sorry, I'm seeing things pop up on my screen. That's why you're seeing, I'm going, what? Who's here? What came, went, chat? Client, and that would be probably October 6th.
Correct.
All right. Very good.
Awesome.
So would you like us to have our screens, cameras off? What?
Yeah, I think it's a personal choice. I'll probably turn mine off. And we're just going to do a little bit of relaxation, and then I just call it head, heart, body. So it's very simple, pretty quick. And then hopefully we'll have some opportunities to share if anyone wants to share when we're done.
Okay, well, I'm
so
ready.
Go ahead and turn off my camera. And I hope everyone can hear me okay. I just want to kind of invite everyone to take a few moments to close your eyes, connect with your purpose for being here. Also, if it's possible to kind of sit with a straight spine and just invite the energy to run up and down your spine, to be connected to your body, kind of notice any feelings that you're having within it. And just take a few moments to take some deep breaths and settle in for a few seconds. And when these deep breaths are complete, just ask that you spend a few moments asking, what is on my mind? What is occupying my thinking? What is on my heart? And how is my body feeling? Just take a few moments to ask yourself those questions, notice anything that pops up. Is there anything you need to do to let those things go? To connect, to be present, or any permission slips you need to give yourself in order to just be okay with what is. And if you'd like to just slowly open your eyes and reconnect, you can come back, and if anyone has anything they'd like to share, I think it'd be a great time to do so. Thank you.
Thank you, Jenny. Who'd like to share?
I can share. Thank you, Jenny, for that. It was good for me just to pause and breathe, because I leaving a meeting and coming into this training, and so my mind is spinning a bit, so that helped me center, and I really appreciate that. I need to remember or remind myself to do that far more frequently throughout the day.
I'll share too. Pretty much like Pam, it really helped me to feel grounded because I've been like running around and doing this and that before this class. And it was really good when you asked, you know, what am I feeling in my my heart, my mind, my heart, and my body? And the heart was fine. And then the mind was okay because I'm like, okay, I'm focusing on this. And then my body, I realized, oh, I was like kind of like crunched up like this. And so I said, okay, time to relax. And it just helped to question myself, like, you know, ask those questions because it makes a difference in how I approach the class. So thank you.
Jenny, I'm just thinking that when you do that with your clients, you have the opportunity to have the complete client with you in the session.
Yes.
I mean, Yayoi just gave the example of, you know, okay, head's okay, heart's okay, but body or however they are. And we just go from one to the other. And that's lovely.
Thank you. I really like it because I think often we can come to a session and we think we're ready, but there's these little wheels spinning in different areas. And so just sometimes just speaking them, you know, like, I'm worried about finances right now. That's on my mind. And my heart's, you know, concerned about my mom or whatever it is. And saying them out loud kind of helps them to dissipate. And then we can move forward. So I find it helpful. And I'm glad that others did as well.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Lovely. And at least as far as I'm concerned, anytime I'm facilitating, I would love to have volunteers because we get to learn from each other. And I tell you what, I have never considered myself a natural at that. So being able to try connections here and try different things and was a great support to me and a relief and help me get comfortable. Lalia. So keep that in mind for future connections. Next we would like, we finally come to that that point, Maureen. Let me see. Yes, we have Maureen with us here. She's here for a couple of classes, but we welcome everyone who comes through the door. Here. So Maureen, we'd love to know about you, maybe where you're located and maybe your specialty and perhaps your greatest joy when coaching.
Thank you, Anne, and thank you all for having me. Jenny, that was awesome because I am traveling and I'm at a hotel and my room isn't ready. So I'm in one of those little corners of a lobby. So that really helped me just kind of clear my space here. But I'm actually from Denver, Colorado, and have been coaching for many years, but am doing my ICF renewal. And I'm sorry, the joys of being in a hotel lobby. But I needed a few additional credits for my renewal and have done my mentor coaching with Jamie and have loved it. And she let me know about this. So thank you all for letting me jump in. I do work with executives, but I would say my favorite work that I do is with women in leadership and women in transition, you know, looking to maybe launch new careers or new directions. And the greatest joy I get out of coaching is helping clients craft a vision of where they want to go. I feel like that's my sweet spot, or maybe where I get the most excitement and energy out of the process. So thank you for welcoming me.
Wonderful. Helping your clients craft a vision. Very nice. Yeah. Yeah. If we can't imagine what it might be, how do we move towards it?
Exactly. Yeah.
Thank you. And then I just wanted a shout out to Jamie and Sherry, because isn't it nice if you say, oh my goodness, I just need three. I just added them up. I thought I had this and I need three or six or nine. Or if you hear that, because now is when everybody's saying that, not everybody, but a third of coaches that renew every year, let them know they can drop in and do, I think, as few as three if that's what they need. So, all right. Let me check my cheat sheet. I want to do follow-ups from last time because, of course, it's the same topic. And we'll just see where that goes. Let me give you an idea of how today will flow, just so we know. I'd like to know next what you've been thinking about, what came to you about ethics since we spoke a week ago. Have you been on the website, seen any videos? Did a situation come up in your coaching where you're able to apply it, or a situation came up and you said, I have to ask about that. So we will do that. Of course, at the closing, I want to know your takeaways. I also have an exercise I'd really like to share with you, and I believe we'll have time for about the last 20 minutes, and it can include your takeaways. It is three pieces of advice. When I first started volunteering with the ethics team, I asked if I said, this is so huge, and I was going to do a 45-minute thing for the chapter. I said, what's a postage stamp? I know it's not small, but I have 45 minutes and I don't want everybody to lose their minds. And he gave me three tips to stay out of trouble. I'm going to tell them to you now, and I'll have a visual of them later, but you can be looking for them. Here are the three tips Michael Mark shared. He's been on the ethics team, I don't know, at least 10 years, I think. Number one is respect. Number two, do what's best for the client. And number three is you can never communicate too much. You can never communicate too much. Respect, do what's best for the client, and you can never communicate too much. So I think after we, in about, 45 minutes, when we've done some more scenarios and looked at some more ethics, I thought this would be a nice way to close, because I hope it begins to give you a little funnel and you feel like, okay, I don't need to know everything. I've got a little focus. Is this respectful? Am I doing what's best for the client? It's number three. I can never communicate too much. I'm probably almost certainly on the right track if I'm doing those three. So that's how we'll close. And if you remind me, he also, I'm looking at my, this is how I would close up the workshop. I'd say, I will share with you what he said is the likely cause of the most complaints to the ICF. That I will share. Somebody's going to have to remember that. I'll tell you exactly what it is. And actually, I'm going to make you guess, because by then you should all be experts and know. So I have something in the chat. Let me look at that real quick. Oh, thank you. Thank you for getting those. And Thea, thank you. Respect, do what's best for the client. You can never communicate too much. So give me an idea. I was going to say about 30, 45 seconds each. Where are you, Maureen? You and I will listen. Where are you since last Monday? When we talked about ethics, where are you since last Monday? Just give us a little update. Who'd like to start? I'd like to hear from everybody, except Maureen.
I'll go.
Thank you.
I didn't do my homework, sorry. But I've been thinking about it a lot. I think what's really popped up for me more so than any new additional information gathering has been reflecting quite a bit on past experiences I've had with clients and moments that felt a little sticky to me and how I did work through those and just kind of reassessing my process. And actually, I'm coming away from that, just that contemplation space, feeling like I did a pretty okay job. And so that's been new for me, because when you're in the moment and you have to make those decisions, you just make them. And to have this deep look into this topic has caused me to really go back and examine those decisions. And I feel like intuitionally I did a pretty good job. But it's always good to reflect. So that's what I've been spending my time doing this week.
What? Then I say you did your homework, huh? Yeah. We can do work up here, can't we?
That's it.
Yeah, very, thank you, Jenny. I'd like to hear from everybody, just a little update on where you are with ethics after last week's marathon with Anne.
Hi, it's Yayoi. I had a lot of thinking on diversity and avoiding discrimination, that one, because it's such a difficult topic, because you don't know what another person is going to feel or how they're going to react. So for instance, I don't know, something that I might just say casually might hurt somebody. So I was thinking, you know, how do I just have to be more attentive and have my antenna up and observe and gauge the client's reactions or just client's mood or aura or energy or whatever you might call it. I just have to be in tune with it, because something I say could just trigger it into a wrong way. And for instance, even wrong pronoun, you know, especially nowadays dealing with transgender and also with, you know, people that have the different pronouns, it's really, really something that you have to be aware of and be conscious of. So you have to pick up on their energies, and you really have to be conscious about the pronouns, because it could be so hurtful. I have a I have a transgender person that I deal with, and I was very, very conscious of that, of the pronouns and how I might, if I make a mistake, it would be really, really, you know, hurtful to the client. So just something to ponder and think on.
Thank you, Yayoi. So I'm hearing you take that topic and directly see it in your press, see yourself implementing that respect.
Yeah, true. Thank you.
Do what's best for the client.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Who's next? Just a short little update. How you doing?
I can go next. Oh,
thank you, Anthea.
Oh, Pam, do you want to go first?
Sure. I would say I'm an internal coach primarily, and I'm realizing quickly that I've gotten away from some of the core practices of being a good coach. And even with my direct reports, I've always prided myself in coaching very well. Even with my direct reports, they're not necessarily a client, but I realizing that I've gotten away from asking the questions and knowing that they have the answer within themselves versus me telling them. And so I've been very, very conscious of asking them questions and helping them process and giving them space and silence to think. And I think, I mean, that's just going to help me start getting into that habit again. I've gotten away from that, from being a good coach. So
thank you. And really understandable as an internal coach when most people are going, yeah, but tell me. We have a couple of scenarios on that. And I think we're going to hit your topics. Who's next? Anthea was next.
Yeah. I'll go. So I think I mentioned last Monday, Anne, that I was going to focus on that statement 11 in terms of the whole sort of power and social difference with the client and by virtue of, you know, my public status. And so, this last week I had a new client, a C-suite client, and I, and he came to me because of my public, identity. And I made that very clear. So I was very intentional in the contracting phase, in setting the foundation, and then watching myself throughout that first session on this particular ethics clause. So yes, it's interesting to bring that intentionality in it. Well, we'll see whether I veer, but I was certainly very intentional. And I think like Pam, I don't think I've gotten away with it, but I think that there have been times in the past with other clients where I may have slipped up a little bit, right? Instead of, taking, more of a stance of wanting to offer, my experience or even what I've done into the space because I've been asked, but to be watchful of not doing that.
Thank you, Anthea. Thank you. Thank you. I love this application to your work or thinking of how this is going to go forward. And Maureen, don't let me forget, I do want to add, when we finish going around, I want to ask if you have an area that you'd like to hear and we'll build that in. Lalia. Fingers crossed.
Okay, I got
it.
Yay! Actually, I don't know if you would be pleased or how, but
I guarantee you I'm going to be pleased.
On Wednesday, we had our class with Julie, and there was Anthea. There was only Anthea and myself. Who else was there, Anthea? Do you remember?
Jenny, but she was still not well, remember? Yeah.
Right. So because there were only three of us, and we seemed to have a lot of time, more time as a result, we actually got into the topic of ethics. And poor Julia, I felt, it was unfair because she was like continuing this discussion. And so we got into the topic, and we're talking about the boundaries of listening and or coaching and consulting and listening and giving advice, and what were the boundaries there. And I just wanted to just share that.
Thank you, it was
fun how we actually just brought it right into that Wednesday. Yeah.
I think that's fabulous. That's what I asked the aforementioned Michael. I studied it some and for a couple of years, but I did not consider myself an expert. I said, would it be okay if I did like little 1-hour things for the chapter or, and he said, of course. He said, people are not talking about ethics enough. They need to talk about ethics every opportunity you have to do that. It was a relief for me because I thought as long as I can put it out there and go, look, it's a big gray field, very few black and white, but let's talk about it. That was very freeing. So bringing it up and delving into it, fabulous. Thank you. And let's ask Maureen, and we're putting you on the spot a little bit, but is there an area that if we can have it pop up here or an area that you second, I'm interested in that as well.
An area that always, I have to be super intentional and I don't always know exactly how to do it is when you are contracted out by a third person within an organization. So, I have a client now that the head of HR brings me in to coach somebody who maybe has some things on their 360 review that they want to invest in this person. They really believe in this person and they want to help this person shore up a few skills. So I have a meeting with them and then they like me to meet this person's manager. And that's always you know, a little bit of a tricky thing. And so I communicate very clearly with the client, our confidentiality, our agreement. I let them know that their onboard processing with coaching requires me to meet with this person's manager. So I try and frame that up really well for the client, but it always makes me feel a little, you know, uneasy. So, you know, that in terms of ethics and serving the client in the best possible way is something that is up for me right now.
Okay. And I have a scenario on that. Anybody else involve a sponsor, maybe a prime, an agency, clients? Everybody is working directly with their client. Boy, you people are better than me. Oh. Somebody else to go out and get all the clients, and then they say you have to work with these clients. Come on, do it. And I go, okay. But it does bring an interesting thing when you involve that. I'm just going to use the term sponsor. So a sponsor is a person who pays the bills. Often, mm-hmm. if it's a business. It is the business of the training and development, and they run an internal program and they hire a coach and clients. And then how much information does that triangle want to share? Great question. All right. So we have just over 50 minutes. I'd like to do that exercise at the end. It's the last 15. So that leaves us just a little over 30. So let's go through some scenarios with that time. All right, and then we'll come back and close with that discussion of those 3 points. So everybody see my screen. Give me a shout, please.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Great. I'm actually starting at the end here, because as I went through it this morning, just to refresh my memory, I went, this is a great slide. There are gray areas, and that's intentional. Code of ethics is in effect. Hold the gray space. I love that phrase. Hold the gray space. And be okay saying it will depend. It will depend. Can you keep this, if I tell you something, will you keep it private? It depends. It depends on what you tell me. So those are just kind of to frame. They're a summary, but I thought they make a lovely framing of the conversation. So after each scenario, we'll have a couple of questions. We're not going to do these because you haven't seen the scenario yet, but there'll be something like this. What steps might you take? Who do you notify? What safeguards? So we'll look at a couple of questions related to each scenario. Let's start somebody mentioned, Jenny, you mentioned record keeping, number 7 and number 8. Let's look at this. Can everybody read that to themselves? Can you see it clearly enough to read it? Yeah? I don't see you, so if somebody yells, that would help.
Yes, I see it. Yes,
Thank you. You accidentally sent a recording. This is my worst nightmare. This is my worst nightmare. You accidentally sent a recording or notes to the wrong person, and then it gives you codes. Now, I'm going to invite you to open this up. Open this up and think, well, I don't send recordings. I don't send notes. Okay, what do you send? I have two people with an unusual first name in my address book. And I just knew I was going to send, and I did, but it was just an email. Hey, do you want to reschedule Friday or something like that? And it was to a coach and a client. So in the scheme of doing bad things, it was not as terrible, but it can happen. Maybe you're not sending a recording or notes, but you just hit the wrong name on the to line and it when, or you hit reply all, there's a million ways for this to happen. Mm-hmm. We know that. So what are your first reactions to this? And I'm going to just go back because I want to see your faces. You sent something to the wrong person. Make it personal. If you don't do recordings and notes, what do you send? It went to the wrong person. What do you do?
Well, I would let the client know that I did that and apologize. And then I would notify the individual that accidentally got it and ask them to immediately delete.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Other thoughts? I did not notice. It seemed like it was saying, what did it say? 137 or something? Did anybody jot down the standards? Do you see a link to, and Pam, that's about what can you do? You tell the client, I'm terribly sorry. You call the person who got it and say, please dispose of that immediately. I sent it. Sorry. Yeah. Yayoi?
Oh, yeah, no, I would do the same thing. I would apologize that it went out, that it was my, you know, it's totally on me. And that I would kindly ask the person that I sent it to please delete it. And if they could, to not speak of it or anything. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not gonna ask if anybody's done this. If you do, you just don't even want to think about it. Jenny.
Done it in other situations, but yeah.
I send follow-up emails to all of my clients when I'm done. And it's something I like to do. They seem to think that it's helpful, so this is what I do. And I have learned slightly be in a hard way, that you have to be really, really careful when you go to address the to box. So I will now type up my emails and I leave who I'm sending it to blank until the very end. I have not sent an email to a wrong person, but I have sent an unfinished email accidentally. And you know when you're just creating that rough draft and it's not done and you have to go back and reread and be like, okay, wait a minute, I'm not going to go there. And so it was unfinished and I sent it and then I had to send an apology and like, hey, will you delete that one? The final one's coming. So I just leave the to spot blank until I'm done with the email. Then I go back and I very deliberately put in who I'm sending it to. So if I accidentally hit a button, it's just going to go nowhere or back into my drafts. So yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. Okay. Good strategy. Oh. And let's flesh this out because one of the other questions for each scenario was something along the lines of what safeguards do you need to put into place? What needs to change? Maureen, you were going to speak.
This makes me think, Jenny, that it's probably helpful for us to check with clients who are contracting us through their professional email. But if they would like follow-up emails going to a personal email account or a professional email account in case they don't have privacy.
Interesting. So,
thanks for bringing that up.
I've actually had that request where someone says, could you email me at this address versus this one? And so that's a really good point.
I have not, I don't know why I've never heard of that. Jenny and Maureen, thank you. It's so simple. Mm-hmm. Yeah, send those notes to, thank you. See why it's nice to have connections and groups and talking.
Right. I had a question.
Lalia, we'll do that. And then I want to keep moving through the scenarios. We don't have too much time. Okay. Yes, ma'am.
So here's a question about confidentiality. I just, out of instinct, if I'm talking to a friend who knows a client that I have, you know, maybe it's a mutual friendship or something, I never say, oh yeah, I've coached her. I think that's respectful, but I'm I don't, I mean, I've wondered about it.
And let me just check, is your question, can I as coach confirm that another individual is my client?
Yeah, in a casual conversation with somebody.
I would never do that.
Right. Yeah. That. Okay.
Yeah. I didn't even do it when I was an internal coach. I don't think.
Just on this, can I just jump into not a lot of this thing, but Anne, I was just thinking, I agree with all of you. I would definitely notify the client. I've not had any experience on this, but I was just wondering, in a scenario where you tell the client, but the client was not happy, right? So it escalates. That means the whole incident, or maybe because what was sent wrongly was very sensitive. Then what would one do, right? How do we escalate? What is the resolution, or options for resolution, right? When the client that you have notified doesn't actually accept your apology because of the content. Mm-hmm. So it's all hypothetical. I've not come across, but it just came to me. What happens if it doesn't end there?
Well, ultimately, they could file a complaint with the ICF,
right?
Because you're a certified coach and a member and bound by that. I cannot tell you for sure what they do, but I think because they want to educate, they would probably, from the papers you saw last week, remember we read through some of the professional development that was assigned, it would probably be read two articles and write one on computer security or though I can't imagine, I can't speak for the ICF, but I can't imagine it would be harsher because they want to educate. It doesn't serve anyone to punish, but to educate, yes. And then I would have the correspondence, hang on to that email. If you do mess up, hang on to it maybe a little longer than you might hang on to an email. For me, I'd probably hang on to it at least till the engagement was done. And I write myself notes on things like that, just so I have them handwritten on this date. They didn't cancel within time, but I told them it was okay, made an exception to my policy. I handwrite because that would be applicable. I'm speculating. But I do, everything I've seen from them is they just want to educate how to.
Okay, that's great.
We lost Jenny, it looks like. I'm gonna go back to another scenario. There are so many of these. Somebody mentioned cultural norms. Who mentioned that? Okay, I'm going to pass that one up if there's not a lot of interest. I'm not hearing a lot about crime either, so we'll skip that one. This one, folks, I don't understand. So we're going to go up here. All right, HR. Yes, HR. Can everyone see that and read that?
Ah,
yes.
Yes, okay.
Yes.
You've been coaching Sam for 3 months in an organization where HR manages the coaching placements. Recently, you were approached by the HR head. I think this was Pam, maybe talking about this. Somebody was, and asked to share information to inform Sam's performance review. So you may want to jot those down. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 15. Are the related standards 1 through 7 and 15. This is about input into a client's, maybe their performance. Yeah, in this case, their performance review. How are they doing? Are they improving? So that's the setup. You're in HR. You're approached by the head of HR. Oh, conflict of interest, multiple relationships here. This is my boss or my boss's boss has approached me and asked me to share information to inform Sam's performance review. Conflict, multiple relationships. So what do we do? What you can answer any of these. What are your considerations in responding? What's going to happen with the coaching relationship with Sam, with your client? And what information in your agreement and the code addresses this scenario? Who'd like to start?
I just have a question more so than any actual answers, because I don't work in these type of scenarios. But my thought process is when you get into one of these relationships that you would have some kind of an agreement up front that would have disclosed certain information that may be shared with others. And that would be something you'd want to work out in the beginning of the relationship. But I honestly have no idea how this works. So I'm curious to see what other people have experienced.
And I think that was Jenny. I don't know why it's not showing me everyone, but that's okay. Because I think that was Jenny speaking.
Correct.
So you said you haven't faced this yourself, but you would think, and I'm with you on this, Jenny, that this is in the coaching agreement. Because again, folks, if that phone rings or that email comes in, I gotta think pretty soon after they're gonna ask, what's in your coaching agreement?
That's right.
May we please see a copy? So absolutely, that relationship starts when that person says, I want to hire you. And you say, okay, I'm sending you a coaching agreement. Read it, sign it, send it back, and we'll go over it. That's when that starts, right there. Other thoughts?
But I can comment on this. I've run into this a few times. It's interesting. So I'm a certified coach, but I'm also a head of HR. And so I often hire external coaches to coach executives or senior level leaders. And so we pay thousands of dollars for these executive coaches. And so I often get into, well, we're paying them thousands of dollars. How come that coach can't tell us if this person, you know? And so that coaching agreement from the very beginning is so critical. And I coach the external coach to make sure that the manager of the client or the, hopefully I'm not creating confusion, but that the external coach really sit down also with the manager of the client to be very clear of what that coaching agreement is. And then I also have to reinforce it. But I can't say enough about the importance of that agreement. And then also I strongly encourage that there's a meeting at the very beginning between the client, the manager, and the coach to identify what the goals or the plan is so that there's a clear understanding of what is trying to be achieved, and that it's very clear that the client will share with their manager what they're working on or what their development plan is.
Pam, can you speak to the second bullet, the implications then? So you're dealing with the coach. What are the implications for the client? Can you speak to that?
I just reinforce with the client that as an organization, we respect that confidentiality that you have with your coach, and that we will honor that partnership agreement. And then I'm constantly I'm reinforcing that with their manager as well, is that when we hire a third party or external coaches, then we have a coaching agreement that all parties agree to. And there is an element of confidentiality that we do not breach with between the client and the external coach. And I reassure that with the client.
Thank you.
I'm not sure I'm answering your question, Anne, but
yeah. It's another way of asking it is, how do you maintain trust and safety with that client in the midst of, by the way, part of this is your coach will meet and this and this and this and this, and we want your trust and we want you to know you're safe. And they'll believe that, or partly believe it or not believe it. Yeah. I'm going to keep going. I have others of these. So these are, okay, that's Sam. So here are some questions. I may come back to this one. Oh, here's another HR. I think this is good. This is good. And this may be relevant. Suppose you don't work for HR, but you do teams. Anybody do team coaching?
Occasionally.
You may run into the same thing. You may have two people on the team who are competing is one word, but are going for the same goal. So just try to figure how this scenario may apply to you. Well, let's look at number three. Maintain the strictest levels of confidentiality. Okay, so I've got Mary and Miguel are both going to this interview. And I know that. I know Mary and Miguel are both going, but I must maintain the strictest levels of confidentiality. And I agree to that. So without any further research, I guess I can't tell either one. Number six. When working as an internal coach, manage conflicts of interest or potential conflicts through coaching agreement. And anybody reading that along with me, number six?
Mm-hmm. And ongoing dialogue.
Ongoing dialogue. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we didn't just, remember you signed this 9 months ago? Don't you remember? Ongoing dialogue. Thank you. That was Anthea, I think. And then I'm sorry. Everybody's picture is teeny tiny on my screen. And then number 10, we'll stop there. Am sensitive to the implication of having multiple contracts and relationships with the same clients and sponsors at the same time in order to avoid conflicts of interest. There's a lot going on here. I'm not going to go through all of the questions. How will you handle it? How will you handle this? I'd like to hear from one or two of you. What would you do? Let's go with the third bullet. How will you handle it? This is your scenario. You have two clients you're coaching, and they are invited to the same job interview. How do you handle it?
I would think that to honor both the clients, I can't say anything to the clients, but it also depends on what we agreed to at the beginning. So yeah, I think at the beginning when I do the contract, you have to take that into consideration and put that in the agreement saying, whether a scenario like that comes up, whether it should, if HR approves of it being, approves that I inform them, or if that's HR's job, or and what the clients feel as well. So I think that needs to be addressed beforehand, which is a tricky situation because, but you're better off doing it beforehand than doing the ongoing dialogue once it's happened, because then it gets really, really messy.
My head is spinning thinking of it.
So this kind of goes back to the question that I asked before, because you can't reveal to somebody that you're coaching somebody else, for confidentiality reasons. So you're in, this is just a really, damned if you do and damned if you don't kind of situation. You can't tell the client that somebody else, your client, is also applying for that job, because certainly you can't reveal their names. If you say somebody else is applying for the job that's a client of yours, that person's going to start wondering who that person is. And then that is a whole issue. I think I would just honor each client when I'm coaching them and honor that I'm serving them and what they need to do. And I think that they're two separate issues. That's just how I would treat it.
I think that is a respectful, going back to that word, do what's best for the client, respectful and ethical decision.
Well, I hope so. I don't know.
What's the alternative? What's Miguel. Miguel, don't even waste the paper. Mary's applying, and Mary is, what are you going to know?
Right.
No. They're not losing out, because what if I didn't coach Mary? Mm-hmm. I just coach Miguel. And he's going to the... He hasn't lost any information. Yes, there's other applicants there. But I stand to lose his trust.
Mm-hmm.
I stand to lose a great deal. And by the way, I would just reference that back. I've never been asked this. I do a couple times a year. I'll have executives working on a detail, and then ultimately one of them is hired. So I... once or twice or three times a year, I'll know that some people in that circle are all there being considered. I would never mention something like that. I've never asked that either. But if I were asked directly, do you know anyone else who's applying for this? I'd say, well, now, Jenny, you have confidentiality with me, as long as it's not anything that involves harming yourself or another. You know that. And all of my clients enjoy that confidentiality.
That's a smart way of
that would be it. That's the answer. That's the answer. So, all right, let's take a quick look and see. Here's one. So this is a little hard to... this, in my mind, went to diversity, discrimination, and how do you come up with a scenario? So here's one. You're working with a potential client and find out they're part of the LGBTQ community when you see them at the Pride Parade with their partner. You, the coach, have fundamental religious principles you follow, and this violates them. Now, I'm going to offer you an alternative to that. If you don't care for that last sentence, that you have fundamental, you can go with that. Please go with that. If you don't care for that one, then just consider, would I overtly recognize them and wave, hi, it's Coach Ann, not knowing who they're with, or how might I handle that? Do I say hi? What's my boundary? We're not in the relationship yet. We are connected by a coaching agreement. This is my client. So either of those scenarios, you have a problem with your religious principles and them being there, or you just think, wow, this is a pride parade. Is it okay if I go up and say hi or whatever. And let's look at let's look at 25. 25 avoids discrimination by maintaining fairness and equality in all activities and operations and respecting local rules and cultural practices. This includes, but is not limited to, discrimination on the basis of age, race, gender expression, ethnicity, sexual orientation, religion, national origin, disability, or military status. So here is, let's just go with number one. How will you determine whether you can effectively serve the client? You saw your client, fairly new client, at an event that you either have some issues with on a personal religious level, or you're just not sure, you know, would it be okay with them if I go up and hi, how you doing at that point? How do you determine in the moment how you effectively serve the client? How do you effectively serve the client?
What's coming up for me, this is Anthea, and is that at that moment when I see my potential client, with the partner in the Pride Parade, you know, I need to listen to what's coming up at that moment for me, right? If I have a very sort of, you know, violent reaction to it, and I'm feeling that, then I think I need to be honest with myself. Because I think if it comes to religious principles, you know, it is such a core part of me. If it's violent, if it's a violent reaction, I think I really need to listen to that and ask if I can truly be effective and be holding, you know, a safe space for the client. But it is sort of, you know, the feeling that came up, you know, when I first see the client. It's, oh, okay, you know, okay, that's not what I expect. So I think that's what's coming up for me. It's that I would have to truly listen to how I feel at that moment when I saw them.
And Thea, thank you. Because if this is a, I'm sorry, it moves around like that. A fundamental religious principle that I follow, a fundamental religious principle is how they worded that. That's going to be there. That's looking back at me in the mirror every day. That's not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. Can I serve my client and look in the mirror and be okay?
Yeah, exactly.
Hi, this is Yayoi. Mm-hmm. For that one, I don't have a fundamental religious, you know, issue with this, but if I did, I would definitely, I think it would undermine my ability to coach and serve the client fully. So I would just have to say that I would not coach that person. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I could mention it, you know, when I tell them that I can't coach them, but I would also read the room or read the person and see how they would feel about that. Because ultimately it's not my client, but it's a potential client, right? So, and I want to respect the person as well. So I would just say, I feel that there's a conflict of interest and I need to disengage from this relationship. I think that would be the fair thing to do. And maybe say, here are a few names of other clients, coaches that you might be interested in working with.
I agree with Yayoi. And because what's coming up for me, and going to the second point that you mentioned as one of the three tips, right? If it's a deep religious, you know, principle and belief, then will I actually do the best for the client?
Yeah.
You know, yeah, that I would really question, actually.
Mm-hmm. This is Jenny. Mm-hmm. I think this is it's such an interesting and dynamic question on so many different levels. I really do agree with Athena and Uyoy as far as, like, if you can't view this person in a non-judgmental way, then pulling out of the relationship or really asking yourself, can you, you know, help this person? Can you serve this person? Is the right thing to do. And yet, as a coach, when we focus solely on our clients, we remove, ultimately, you want to remove any judgment that you have. So I tend to think, you know, the solution is for me to not think about myself or my beliefs, but to focus on the client in those moments. But if you can't separate those two things, then disengaging from a relationship seems like the most ethical thing to do, because you're not going to serve anyone. So it's a interesting dynamic question.
Thank you all. I am going to go to our, I think, yeah, those were the, so this is where I'd like to spend the remainder of our time. So remind me, and I'll show you the bonus, but I want you to guess first. The bonus, before we close, make sure I share what's likely the leading cause of complaints to the ICF. But let's talk about this. Respect, do what's best for the client. You can never communicate too much. So again, these are three tips from a longtime ethics coach. I don't know if Michael's a PCC or an MCC, I don't know, but he's been on the ethics committee a long time. And this is, again, what I share when I only have 45 minutes to just say, what does respect mean? So now you experts, coming out of 2.5 hours so far, or a little over, of talking about ethics, I'd like to go through these three and have you tell me what is evidence of respect. I would like for you to say these words in the pledge to me, Yayoi, or to me, Anthea, or to me, Lalia. To me, these words in the pledge indicate respect, or to me, number 26 in the code indicates respect. And then next, doing what's best for the client. Who'd like to start?
I can share.
Thank you.
To me, respect is allowing your client to be their whole self or bring their whole self to the relationship. Or to the partnership, and as a coach, passing no judgment, and being, you know, constantly checking yourself. And I think that comes out in the listening, is that completely listening without thinking or passing judgment.
Pam, and that was Pam again. Now I know why it doesn't show you the phone. But Pam, that brings me right back to the question we just talked about. And isn't it so important in light of what you've just said, that respect is honoring of that individual? You would have to say to someone, I can't coach you. Mm-hmm. If you couldn't provide this level of customized for the client, what is best for them. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Pam. When you were speaking, I went, this is why we have to be clear and consider that. Can I do what's best for this client? What else does respect mean? Where do you see respect in the code, in the competencies?
This is Jenny. Yes. I think respect also means acknowledging your limitations as a coach, your specialty, things that are outside of your scope of practice, and being clear with that. It sets up a better, and I think a safer, more trusting space with a client when you can do that. And it also helps you prevent you from overextending into areas that really you're not serving well. And so I think just having the self-respect to know where your edges are and communicate those clearly is part of that relationship.
Self-respect, yeah. Can anybody think of an example of a limitation that you might share with a... I have an easy one. I am better in the morning than the late afternoon. So my calendar only goes up till 3 p.m. It's like a self-regulating, you know, I don't want to... and Thea, I'm looking at you going... but that's just... I'm better able to serve. I'm better, you know, for that part of the day. And then around 3, 4, 5. Can you think of an area where you might adjust yourself so that you're offering your best for the client? Self-respect and respect for your client.
Well, I think you have to be in a good frame of mind to begin with, or in a stable place in order to coach someone fully. Like if I'm having, let's say, I don't know, family issues, and, or I had a, I don't know, argument with my spouse or partner or whatever, and I'm feeling very, very angry, and I won't be able to coach them effectively if I can't get rid of that anger. So if I'm holding on to that anger, I think my best course of action would be to say, you know, I have personal reasons right now, which I can't honor our time together. So can we reschedule? I mean, that's kind of unfair to the client, but it would be more unfair if I coached them feeling that way. So, and that's part of the respect as well as looking for the interest, best interest of my client. So.
Right? I like that. It's respectful for you. Respectful for the client. And I know there's somewhere in here where they talk about not canceling sessions, but they talk about are we showing up fully conscious? Because that's the phrase they use. Fully conscious is how they refer to me showing up. Maureen, you had your hand up.
Yes. You know, I've had an interesting situation where I've been coaching a woman on the vision for where she wants to take her business. And she's ready to get very tactical with her website. And I think it crosses outside of coaching into consulting, and it's not my best wheelhouse. And so I've had to say to her at this point, I recommend looking at some other resources, and I'm happy to stay engaged with you, but this is, you know, where I feel like I can serve you best. And this is where I'm seeing you're looking for a different level of consultation.
Thank you. Great example, knowing how we can best serve them. And I know this is in the code multiple, that when to refer to another specialist who is better able to serve them. I want to move along. Do what's best for the client. What's an example of that? We've mentioned many in this call. What's an example? What's best for the client?
Well, I had a situation where I had to just simply acknowledge to myself for the start that this was not a good match between coach and client. And I needed to say to her, I didn't think I was helping her. I frankly didn't think I was doing a good job. I didn't quite say it that way. We just weren't a good match. And I had to say that we needed to discontinue the relationship. I mean, we're still friends, I have to say, you know, so it wasn't, I mean, and she even said, oh, are you firing me as a client? I didn't say yes, but I said, you know, I said, I think, you know, we've gone as far as we could go.
Yeah.
But that was the honest, respectful, and best for her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Lalia, I like that example because you may know you've gone as far as you can. And if she's new to coaching, she may not know what else is possible. I mean, we know you only go as far as the client works hard.
Yeah.
Through magic.
It just wasn't a good match.
Yeah.
She had different expectations than what I could give her. And so
in that case, it was the best.
Right.
Client.
Yeah.
How about you can never communicate too much? What comes to your mind when you see that?
The agreement and, I mean, very much the agreement, but it's also to communicate, this is what we're going to do today. This is what, you know, what do you expect? To be very clear about what outcomes you're looking for and the procedures you're going to follow, that both the client and the coach are going to follow. So I think it's with any relationship. Communication, it's never too much. You always have to communicate, so.
And particularly, no, you tell me, what's an area where you might want to really make sure you do this?
At the beginning of each session and the agreement, you mm-hmm. know, what do you want out of this coaching session today?
Okay. Give me one That's more. What's another area? It's in your coaching agreement, I'm sure. What's another area you might want to pull out and really emphasize?
I do a lot of communication around personal responsibility and that coaching can cause changes in relationships and workplaces, and that if anything gets overwhelming or if they're in need of any additional services, that they'll seek out therapy, and I have some recommendations. So I try to really communicate very well around boundaries, what can be expected, and then where the edges of the relationship are.
Thank you. Thank you, Jenny. Yeah, responsibility. Yes. Yes, have I told you one of my mentors' three rules for coaching? Write these down. Number one, make the client do the work. Yeah, you've heard this. You've heard this. Number two, make the client do the work. Number three, make the client do the work. Okay. I want to hear guesses from you about what's on the next page, and that is the leading cause. And then we're going to spend the full last 5 minutes. And there are five of you, I think. Yeah, five. So a minute. What have you learned, and what are you going to do with what you learned? That's what I'm really inviting you to focus on. What will you do with what you've learned? It could be update this, add this, learn more. What will you do with what you've learned? That's our last 5 minutes. I want to guess, though. What do you think is a leading cause of complaints to the ICF? Come on.
Confidentiality.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Conflict of interest.
Conflict of interest. That shows up. Yep.
And not the leading then.
Not leading then?
Yeah. Consulting versus coaching.
Yep. All right. Well, if you all give me a drum roll, I will show you the answer, but I want a drum roll.
Okay.
I can hear it. Ready?
Yes. Sorry. No contract. Oh, no agreement. Uh-huh.
No contract, a bad contract, a poorly explained contract. And then he adds another point. So the contract we know, make it a great contract. And he added, pay attention. If the client is giving signals they're unhappy. And then people will say, how do I know if they're unhappy? I'm going, pay attention. And check in. You all have done that in the coaching. I heard that. I just want to check in. How are we doing? You and I, not the topic you're moving towards in this session, but you and I, about every fourth or fifth session. How are we doing? Are you getting what you needed and expected? It could be a 30-second conversation, could be a 5-minute conversation, but check in with them. Are they giving signals that we're missing, that they're unhappy? What does that look like? Missed sessions? Canceled sessions? Maybe, maybe not. Ghosting? Do you have to send a lot of reminders?
Or when when the coaching sessions aren't very, that feel superficial. Like, yes. You know, the times that you know that they're really not talking to you, but they're just doing it because they have to do it or something like that.
Yep. Oh, and there's some closings. I forgot they were there. So here are some, you may answer any of those. What is next for you? I'm going to go back. Take a look at those. You don't have to answer that exact question because I want to go back to the screen. But really, what are you taking away? What do you want to think about? Are you going to implement? What's your next step? I'd love to hear from everybody. We got 3 minutes.
I'll be fast. I've got to go review my contract.
Your coaching agreement, your contract?
The actual contract before
good for you, Lalia. Can we check with you next time?
No. I have a really busy week.
That's fine. Don't worry.
But I will do it.
Okay. Yeah. Excellent. Who's next?
I'll go.
Thank you. Yeah.
I really like the 3 tips, and what I want to do is to just put it down, you know, on a post-it and have it with me, you know, during coaching sessions, you know, so you are kind of visually reminded as well. But I think it's such a great way to sort of pull everything together. That's a great takeaway. So thank Michael for me, but thank you for sharing.
I will. I
really like it.
Yeah. I have not closed with that before. So you were the first group. Everybody else just left going. So I like this closing too. When I saw that, I went, oh, that'd be very nice. Yeah,
it is. It's wonderful. Okay.
I can go next. This is Pam. I would say my contract too. I haven't coached external clients for a long time, and I was really good at contracting formally with external. Internal, I've really gotten away from that. And so I need to go back and review that and look at what I'm doing with internal clients.
Sounds good. And when you're there, make sure that either if you have the code embedded or a link, make sure it goes to the newest code. I think it was updated in 2019. That was the first thing that it did. September 2019 is the latest code of ethics. Mm-hmm. All right, two folks looking at their contracts.
I'll go next.
Go ahead, Jenny.
Oh, sorry. Hey, do you want to go?
No. Go ahead.
I think for me, again, it's an agreement thing to go over my agreement. I really like the one that I currently have. What I've realized is I've kind of gotten to the point where I'm like, make sure you read the last page and sign and date it, which is kind of where my disclaimer is. But I also ask a number of great just foundational coaching questions in it. I go over, you know, our agreements, what I'm committing to do for them. And so just kind of going back, looking over it again, and maybe developing a little bit more appreciation and seriousness around the agreement, instead of just logistically getting the signature. Making sure that we actually go over it formally. And I've got a little bit more lackadaisical over the years of
just being like, sign the last page and send it to me. So I guess it's a deeper appreciation for my current agreement and a desire to really uphold it and make sure that it is gone over thoroughly.
Excellent. And we just have 1 minute. I'm sorry, Yayoi and Maureen, would you split our final minute and tell us your takeaways?
I can go quickly. It's the agreement and that's it.
That's a simple, yeah.
Thank you, Yayoi.
And mine also is the agreement with a special lens on sponsorship and getting that clarity in there. And then communicate. That was a good reminder.
Yes. Yes. I'm telling you, go to the communities of practice, the water coolers. These are cool people. They've been around, they know the stuff, and they're there to help. They're all volunteers. The non-ICF staff, they're all volunteers. Thank you so much. I'm going to stick around. If you have any questions or anything, you were, how did we get there? Where was that thing? I'm going to stay. I'll turn off the recording.